Hey everyone, Tanisha Coffey here, aka the Lofty Entrepreneur. Thanks for joining me. I have a special guest for today's Her Story edition of the Lofty Entrepreneur. Today's guest epitomizes integrity, high energy, hard work, thought leadership, and creativity in every aspect of her personal and professional life. She is brutally honest, sometimes telling clients things they don't want to hear, but always telling them what they need to know to get the outcome they're looking for. That undoubtedly is what has helped this uncanny mompreneur to become one of the top 1% real estate agents in her market and to be recognized as one of the top 5% realtors in Atlanta, Georgia in just 5 years. Not only is she earning a full-time income as a real estate agent, but today's Her Story All-Star has proven herself such a stellar entrepreneur that world-renowned real estate firm Keller Williams has recruited her to be a national trainer for the organization. Please help me welcome Ms. Natalie Barriaho of Atlanta-based Barriaho Real Estate Group to the show. Hi, Natalie. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm blushing. I'm doing great. Thank you for that amazing intro. I need to just have you around me on my days that I'm not feeling motivated and be like, hey, can I just get the intro?
I'll record it for you. You know, I'll put some music behind it, a little applause, you know, everybody.
All I do is win, win the back.
Yay. Yes, awesome. Everything,
whatever. Thank you for having me.
Very welcome. Thank you for taking the time out to speak with us today. I am so into your story because I think it's unusual how you got into entrepreneurship. I'm not going to spoil it for, you know, our viewers and our listeners. I'm going to let you tell it. So I want you to start back. You weren't always an entrepreneur. And I want you to go back a little bit, rewind for me, and tell me how you even, what you were doing before you became an entrepreneur and how you got into it.
I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs. Growing up in Sweden, actually, as I'm from there, and my mom is from Finland, and my grandparents always had a side business, and their side business, believe it or not, was farming. So saw that, and then my uncle and aunt, you know, they had their own businesses. Their children built businesses, and my cousin Yurki sold it off, right? And so I've always seen that, and I never really looked at myself as somebody going and becoming an entrepreneur. And my pathway and my history here when I moved to the United States was I went to college and got a degree in business administration, specializing in management. You know, I was a restaurant manager for Cartel Restaurant, Nikimoto's here in Atlanta, which was the top first sushi restaurants around here. And while I'm going to college, so I had my degree in management. That's what I did. I became a financial analyst. I was a business manager for 7 radio stations. And then decided that, you know, I need to do something that's going to allow me to be a mom. So what I did is I actually became a high school marketing and business teacher, as well as a head basketball coach. And that what it allowed me to do during the summers is go back home to visit my family in Finland and Sweden and not have to worry about taking time off.
Right.
Well, $45,000 a year at my top, and I was working as a coach summers as well, a year long, was just not nothing that I thought would be enough to be able to retire the way I envisioned my retirement to be.
Right.
And honestly, the reason I went to entrepreneurship was the financial rewards of owning your own business and controlling your income, but it was my students. So I'm big on telling stories. So in my classes, my students, you know, I'm teaching marketing and business, and I'm always bringing in my friends' stories. Mm-hmm. You know, a friend that had a business, and we had sat down, we talked about how can she diversify and get a bigger, different clientele base, right? So I gave her all the marketing ideas, and she went out there, executed, and did amazing. And right. So my students always went, you know, with everything you know, Coach V, why don't you have your own business? And I went, well, you know, I'm here teaching you guys. And honestly, with my children, this is great because it allows me to be a good parent and be there and be able to go home.
Right.
And I kept on saying that for 10 years. And finally, it was that one student in the back, young man that talks all the time. I'm not going to say his name just in case. He said, Coach V, it's not like your kids want to be around you anyway. They're teenagers. And by the way, I raised 2 boys, right? And I'm like, first, I was offended. And then I thought about it, and I drove home that day, and I thought about that what he said, and I said, doggone it, he is right. Mm-hmm. You know, in the summer, it's, you know, I go home, they go for 6 weeks. You know, I'm blessed enough that my ex-husband and I have a great relationship, so they were over there when if I'm super busy. So I knew that I had a support system around me to be able to go in and become an entrepreneur. And that's what I did. And so I went into real estate.
Okay. So it was the student who taught the teacher that day. And he kind of did that out of the mouth of babes, hardcore slap in the face reality check, like, you're doing it. Clearly you know what you're doing, because you were helping people to be successful just in teaching and coaching people kind of on the side. So then it hits you, okay, let's do this. Let's do this entrepreneurship. Did you jump right in, or did you, you know, like, did you completely just say goodbye to teaching, or did you, you know, kind of skip into it?
Interestingly, I was going to go into real estate like 10 years prior to. So when I moved to Charlotte temporarily, we were there for a few years and stuff. And when I moved over there, I actually took the real estate class. I remember leaving Atlanta, driving to Charlotte for like 4 weekends in a row to take the class, right? Mm-hmm. My husband has family, you know, from over there, Charlotte, North Carolina, South Carolina. So, you know, we were going back to be closer to his mom and dad, and his dad was diagnosed with cancer. So that really kind of fueled our move. And I took the class, passed it, and I was going to go all in, and we moved to Charlotte, and I was like, I don't know anybody here except, like, somebody's family, right? And I was like,
right.
And I let fear get in the way. I also allowed people to tell me what, like, normally when you start real estate or something like that, that's a commodity, you normally start with your sphere. And I didn't have a sphere, so I just kind of put that on pause. I wasted that money, but I did learn a lot from that. And then I went into teaching instead. So then fast forward, when I heard that, I was like, well, this could be a good time for me to go to real estate. My agent, my realtor in Charlotte, when I bought a house and then sold the house and bought another house, I mean, sold my other house, she always told me that I should be in real estate. She's like, girl, you know more than most realtors out there, because I'm like talking to her about the process because I took that one class. And so Amy Yuntz, who is with Keller Williams and Valentine, convinced me that I need to go. So of course, right away, I called her and I said, listen, I think I'm ready to take the leap. And when I do, where should I hang my license? Which broker should I go with? And she right away was like, Keller Williams, no doubt. I've tried them all. They don't fit. That shoe don't fit. You need to go to Keller Williams. And with your passion in teaching, that's what that company is about. Teaching and pouring. So that's what I did.
What do you think it was that she saw in you that made her see the light in you that you could and would be successful in this, you know, despite those other naysayers, you know, other people who are closer to you, you know, they're, you know, they were kind of, you know, downplaying and saying, oh, you know, maybe shouldn't, and, you know, kind of feeding
that. Even my mom, love my mom to death. She's a phenomenal woman. And I mean, I look up to her, and she even was like, are you sure? Like, you're going to leave this solid job. Like, I don't know if it's a good idea. Well, I understand where she was coming from. And what I think what she saw in me was what I've always felt. You know, I love people and I relate with people. And that's why I was a phenomenal teacher, because all my students are different, you know, different levels, different backgrounds, you know, different age groups, because I was teaching business. But I always found a way to connect with them to make them want to strive to do well, right? And so that's the same thing in any business you go into, right? And so I was able to always connect. So I think what she saw in me was that capability of that. The hard work ethic I had as a teacher and a basketball coach.
Right.
My passion for real estate, like even when we had issues come up, like I called her like, hey, but I think this is a good solution. So solving problems comes naturally for me. You know, I think those were the things that she saw. I'm actually going to ask her, because I'm not sure, but I'm thinking that's what it is. Because when she was like, you should go into it because you this, that's what she mentioned. So I'll have to ask her that. That's a good question.
All those things are things that, I mean, they're critical for a real estate agent. People, clearly it's a sales-focused industry, you know, agent-based sales-focused industry. But really, no matter what business you're in, having that ability to sell, interface with, you know, potential customers, build relationships, they're all critical to any business, no matter what industry you're in.
You're absolutely correct. 100% correct.
Okay, so, all right, so you have this person, your own real estate agent, who sees this in you. You'd already prepared. That's kind of life or the universe setting you up for something that you weren't ready for then, but then you know, everything was in place when you finally did decide. So what happened next? You know, you decide you're going to do real estate. Go. What happened?
Okay, so, and I can be brutally honest, and is it okay if I'm transparent and share my story?
Please.
Yes. Okay. Because I want people to hear this. Like, going to entrepreneurship, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to spit like this. An iceberg looks nice and pretty on the top, right? Under the water, it's just a big, it's crazy, right? So right. A lot of times when we see successful entrepreneurs, we go, oh, that's easy. But they don't see the struggles behind it. So I'm going to share you my struggle. I decided then that I'm going to go and get my real estate license after speaking with her. When I got my license, I started it kind of sort of, and then I stalled, right? Because I was doing it online, and I'm definitely not an online learner. I need to be in the classroom. So then I'm like, oh gosh, I got to do it. So I finally did it, took the test, a school test, and failed it, right? Why? Because I started the process, did a little bit, paused for 6 months, and then only had like a little bit of time. So I crammed for like a week and didn't do well. And so I took the test again, didn't do it. So I had to pay for the online course again to be able to take the test again. Mm-hmm. And then I took 2 weeks to really study the info and gather that, and then took a test. Now, the interesting fact is that made me work really hard. And I actually passed the state exam first time, which most people don't. Right. So I paused it. So as soon as I got my real estate license, I was like, all right, I'm going to do real estate. I'm going to do teaching. And so what I did is I had one foot in, one foot out, sort of.
Yes.
And I only work with like a lot of my friends or whatever that really trusted me. And they were smart enough to know that I'm good at pretty much, I'm blessed with skill sets that I'm going to make something work. And I'm always going to find an answer if I don't know it. So even though I was a new agent, I work with quite a bit of my friends who were buyers, right? So I helped them with their homes. And what I didn't realize is when you do something little bit here, a little bit there, it's not the same as being in it full time.
Right.
In it. So I felt like, you know, I had to make a decision because my business was not growing fast enough. I had to make a decision that I'm either going to go for it or I don't. Right. So I made that decision. I went all the way for it to the point of almost being broke and depressed.
Oh, okay. Now how did you?
You were like, what?
Yeah. We gotta pause. Roll it back for a second there. So, okay. How do you even? So you before that you had people kind of the naysayers, you know, the fear, and you were scared. And you, of course, you want the business to thrive, but how did you get over that fear, or was it just the, you know, other things, life, you know? What made you get over that?
And I used fear earlier, right? So I used it really because that's a lot of times what entrepreneurs feel. I'm not necessarily, for me, it wasn't fear. It was the, I have to succeed, right? So what happened is I put in my notice in my job and my teaching job. So teachers get paid over the summer. So I did end up getting paycheck until August. Well, you know, I took the summer to sit on the pool, talk to friends, like, hey, you know, anybody looking to sell or buy? Like, I did not run my business as a business at that point.
Right. You were still a teacher mode. Teacher on some great mode.
Yeah, checks stopped coming from the school. I'm already in quite a bit of debt because raising two boys with $45,000 a year, and I've lived in certain communities to make sure that they were going to certain schools and they were around their friends. Even after the divorce, I want to make sure we maintain our lifestyle. So no, I didn't make good choices. So here we are, you know, it's August and I'm not getting a paycheck anymore. And at that time, around August, September, my grandfather, who was like my ace, got sick, and he's in Finland, and then he got better, and they were like, he's not going to make it, got better, and so really a roller coaster ride, and I think that's the one time that I felt really isolated and alone, mm-hmm. not only with my family being so far away, but I don't have the job to go through, it's just my business, you know, here are my kids who I adore, and they adore me, but they're going out to their dads, so it was very lonely and isolating trying to build your business by yourself. Well, needless to say, that caused me to go into depression.
Yeah.
You know, when they're giving off to their dads, you know, I was on the couch, and when you're your own boss, I made a choice not to go to work that day. You know, I might pick up the phone a few calls, but next thing I know, I woke up and it's a week later, right? And so that really kind of took a toll on me. I fell 2 months behind on my mortgage, and full transparency, I was about $35,000 to $40,000 in credit card debt at the time.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't know what I was going to do. What I was not going to do is ask people for help. That is not me. I just will not. I've learned now to, when you're going through things, share it with people, because they, your tribe and your family will always come to rescue. Yeah. And what it really was a good friend of mine, Matt, we had a trip already planned with some of our friends going to Cabo that I had paid for in like, I believe it's a January, December, January. And I was like, I can't go. You know, at that point I started, I had no business at all, right? So by September, October, I'm like, what do I do, right? My deals had closed, I had nothing in a pipeline. And he said, you need to go to this vacation. He said, you need this more than anybody I know. And I was like, all right. And as a matter of fact, he said, what do you need to be able to get caught up at least 1 month? I was like, I mean, if I had $1,000, I'd pay my mortgage, right? And so he wrote me a check for $1,000. I'm like, I can't take it. He's like, you can take it as a loan, pay it back when you can. And I was like, all right. So I did that and we went on vacation. Mm-hmm. When I tell you every single day being around the people that I know, Chris and our friends, and they lifted me up, my spirit came back and I started finding myself back into who I am. Now I got excited about real estate, but God is so amazing that literally on the last night or last day at the resort, it's an all-inclusive resort, one of my buddies, Chris, yells from the pool and says, hey, Natalie, come here. Here's another real estate agent. And so I go in and I meet this lady named Lisa, you know, just as bubbly as I am. And he goes, she probably got to be from Keller Williams. Y'all all the same. And she goes, I am. I'm from Keller Williams, Manhattan. Come to find out, she started her business in her first year, was super successful, just following our Keller Williams models and running her business, getting up and going to work. So I tell her, and I'm, like I said, I'm transparent. I told her flat out, like I am, this is where I am in my business. And I don't know if this is going to make it, if I'm going to make it. She said, when do you guys leave? I said, tomorrow morning. She's like, meet me down here for breakfast. I'm going to show you. I'm actually here business planning right now for the year. I'm going to show you how I built a business. And I sat down with her and she showed me everything. And I looked at her and she literally said, if I can do it, you can do it.
Right.
And when I tell you, I came back to Atlanta, like, let's go, let's go. Yeah. I did have a new listing that hit the market. It was a $799,000 listing. We put it on the market. And then when I came back, I became myself again. And then I trenched into real estate. I took a class called BOLD, which is Business Objective Life by Design that Keller Williams has. Okay. There's a business version of it too, but it's really about mindset. Mm-hmm. And I just started going. And when I tell you, I haven't looked back that year, I sold 17 units. And the year after that, 38, then 42. There was a little bit of slowdown in the last 2 years because I was going to build a team. And then the team kind of dissolved. Now I'm going back to single agent. But I will never, ever, ever be back in that situation because a couple of things I did wrong. One, as an entrepreneur, I should get up and go and work. But two, I did not have the conversations with the people that love me about really what was going on.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like some of the biggest things, I mean, yes, having that those friends who were like family around you because you couldn't have your actual family there with you. That was critical in kind of getting you over the hump. And then really what I'm hearing is something I think is so amazing, especially in like a real estate industry where people think it's so cutthroat or where people really can be cutthroat. Right. There's somebody who was willing to actually help you to reach back and pull someone up, who's trying to make it in the industry. I think that's critical these days because a lot of times people think, oh, somebody in my same industry, I don't know if I want to, you know, talk with them, you know, deal with them because, you know, they may, you know, come in on my territory or, you know, they feel threatened. And I think that's huge that this perfect stranger not only just talked with you or offered to have a conversation, but literally broke out her book and was like, look, this is what I'm doing here.
Right.
You know, I think that's amazing. And I think that's something that's missing a lot of times in business today. And you know, that's part of like what I'm trying to do with the Lofty Entrepreneur.
You're not trying, you are
what I am
there
doing.
You go.
Thank you You know, trying to pull people up, you know, I am, you know, not out there in Porsches and all this kind of thing, but I know that the things that I know, like you, the mistakes that I've made, the knowledge I have stuffed in my head can be helpful to somebody else. And so it's all about us all trying to kind of pull each other, you know, up.
You're absolutely correct. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, when we look ourselves in the mirror and when we're no longer here, like, what impact did you leave? And so even here in Atlanta, you know, I always look from coming from a place of contribution. Earlier today, I was teaching via Zoom in an office in D.C., and there's a bunch of people on, and I'm like pouring and giving, like, listen, if you need something, reach out to me. Because I think, I know that the more I do that for others, the more blessed I'm going to continue to be. And at the end of the day, there's 6.8 something million people in Atlanta. I can't service them all.
Right.
Like, there's, even if they all came to me, there's no way. The amount of real estate being sold. So I look forward to the opportunities to mentor, the opportunities to teach, the opportunities to share. Now, with that said, I might not give my listing packet to another agent in my office because we go up against the same listing. But all my buyer stuff I do, because we don't have the same buyers, right? So that is interesting you mentioned that. But I think that's the Keller Williams model as our culture, to always share and help. So she shined the culture of Keller Williams.
Right.
And that actually solidified why I'm with Keller Williams and why I'm always going to be there. I'm not leaving. I get recruited heavily, go to other brokerages, and I'm like, no, because I love the fact that we're not cutthroat. Not everybody, right? But our culture is to always give and care and help and be there to assist others.
Right. So I know I took you off on a little tangent. I want to, you know, keep with your story. So, all right, so you get back from Cabo, and you've got this fire in you. What do you actually do? You know, what are you doing to get the listings? What is it that, because people can be energized about something, like, okay, yeah, let's go, I got this. And then they're like, I don't know what to do.
I'm going to tell you, one of the other things that I did is I re-engaged with my productivity coach in my office, Regina Polk, phenomenal woman. One of the reasons I am in the position I am today, if she hears me tell her that, she's like, no, that wasn't me, it was you, and it was God, is what she's going to say. But I sat down with her, and literally, like, I had just sat down with her, and I'm all like, I don't know what to do. So I came back, and I was ready to go, and then I started, and it wasn't taking off fast enough. So I sat in her office in tears, and I said, what do I do? And she said, do you want this? Do you want a business in real estate? I said, yes. She says, go to work. Pick up the phone. I said, okay. And then she told me to go and take Bold. And I was like, I don't have $899 for Bold.
Right.
Like, true story. And she says, just go to First Step. It's free and see what you think. I went to First Step. Halfway through the First Step, I walked up to her and I literally said that, I'm not going to ask for a scholarship and I'm not going to ask for help. I'm not going to do a payment plan. I'm going to put this on my credit card and it's going to finish maxing my credit card out. If I don't put my trust in me to use the tools that they're teaching us in a class to build a business and get more money,
right,
I should not be in the industry. I said, the worst case scenario, I will go and pawn my Louis Vuitton bag, which, by the way, I bought 3 years before when I capped, because I wanted to have a celebration for me. And I've been wanting that all my life, right? 45,000 a year, I couldn't do it. And she looked at me and she said, and this is how secure she was. You're not going to have to pawn that. And no lie, I took that. I maxed out my last credit card. I didn't have any money to my name. And when I tell you, I went after it. And during that Bold 7-week course, I closed one of my deals, $799. I mean, I got a check and then I closed another one I picked up during that time at $500,000. Like, walking and getting a $15,000 check from closing. And I literally, like, I remember looking up and, like, just almost crying and thanking God. I'm like, I've made it, which I hadn't yet.
Right.
Because that was just getting me to be able to survive at this point.
Yeah.
But I still have $40,000 in credit card debt.
But it had to feel amazing to just, I mean, first of all, getting that check, period, you know, is always an amazing thing. And then not just one, but two. And then, you know, at that commission rate, you know, for most people, I mean, think about it, you were making $45,000 as a teacher. So that meant that you made a third of your salary in one check. you know, in
it was crazy. It actually made me go look at that check, and I thought I should have went in this earlier, and I now realize that I shouldn't have, because the reason I'm successful, I feel like, in real estate right now is because of all the experiences I had. I was a business manager. I ran a business, books and budgets and payroll and all that, right? Then I'm working as a teacher, working in marketing and business is exactly what I did. Like, I taught my students how to write business plans. Well, I wrote my own. And so all those skill sets that I had acquired and learning and how to motivate and talk and teach, that's what real estate is. I'm teaching people to process, right? And so I'm very blessed that I had those experiences. And honestly, even that we talked about 50, I mean, I've had months where I've made more than my annual salary as a teacher, like months.
Wow.
I was like, so the interesting fact of it is then you have to dig deep of saying, okay, don't get caught up in it, stay true core to this, because a lot of times in entrepreneurship, you make this money and you ease up and then your business starts sliding. Yes. And secondly, it's about always looking for opportunities to continue to give back, because you don't want to just thrive, thrive, thrive and be money driven. You have to stay core and true to what got you there and not forget what it's like to start a business.
Right. Because it's once you get that first check or that first sale, then you have to repeat the process, figure out what you did to get it. And then you have to keep doing it to try to get it consistently to really build that business. And like you're saying, getting caught up in that one, you know, big sale.
We call it a transaction, right? So one transaction. So that's the interesting part. And I think the reason, I know the reason my business continues to build is the relationships that I have with my clients. It's the way I'm pouring into others. It's like I said, I did the class earlier. You know, if one of those agents has somebody that needs real estate needs here in Atlanta, they're going to remember me. I poured into them for an hour and a half too, right?
Right.
So I say all that to pivot to the fact that there is, in entrepreneurship, there is something called a money tree. When I teach new agents, I teach them about the money tree. You know how your parents used to be like, there is no money tree in the backyard. Yeah. You can just go pick up money, remember? Like, I literally, now my conversation with my mom is like, no, that's kind of sort of, there is a money tree if you're an entrepreneur. And the money tree is exactly that. I don't run my business on transactional basis, okay? So in other words, I start my real estate career. I get my real estate. Now here's the base of the tree. Mm-hmm. I get my first client. Let's say it's you. You're my first client. My goal is to give such great service to you, do a phenomenal job with you, that you're going to give me a referral, right? One of your friends, one of family members. And if I really do it well, and you're one of those people that's really all talkative, you might give me a two. So out of that one branch, we're going to get another branch. And out of that branch here, you get another branch. Now we have those. I do a good job with those two, they're going to give me referrals too. So by the time I get done, it's all these different branches. Meanwhile, I have another client that I met out, and no lie, during that period when I was building my business, I started talking about real estate. So I was actually at a happy hour with a friend of mine. It was his birthday, and a gentleman was coming in to order a cocktail, and I kind of went, oh, I'm so sorry, let me move out of the way. And he goes, huh? And come to find out, he owns a house here in Grand Park, $500,000, and that's the $15,000 commission check I mentioned, right?
Right.
I made him out, but because I was so kind to him, he gave me the opportunity and I listed his house.
Right.
So he is now another person on this side. And he sends me a referral, or he has another deal that I'm doing. That's how it goes. So when you run your entrepreneurial business, you always start hard and right away, and give your service level at the highest level, and make sure that the people that are using you will give you referrals. To me, that's like the best and easiest way. No, there's no money needed. There's no marketing money needed. This is just working your sphere and the people that you're working with.
Right. And if you don't have a sphere, because I remember you said when you were in Carolina, you know, part of the fear was because you didn't have the sphere. So what's the tip for someone who doesn't quite have that sphere yet?
Create it. So that's the great part I love about real estate or any entrepreneurship, right? You have to figure out who you are. So like on a DISC profile, right? So you could do all these different tests. So I use the DISC profile a lot. Even for my clients, I look at what their profile is. I can see it now. I've gotten skilled enough to see like their behavior. Well, I'm high D, high I. That means, go get it, running in, and I'm like social still, like, so I'm this movement. So me, I do great around people in person, right? Mm-hmm. Then you might have some that are, you know, don't really like to be around people, but they're great with systems and organization. Maybe they need to call expires, right? They're just on the phone calls. They don't want to be around people. So you have to find your way to lead generate, because that's really what it is when you're an entrepreneur. You have to go and get your business. Or if you don't want to do that, and I have a friend of mine who teaches people how to be licensed to be able to do government contracts or minority businesses.
Okay.
You don't want to, it depends on your business, but you got to figure out what's going to work for you. Mm-hmm. It might be the fact that you join a chamber of commerce, you know, maybe you go out a lot to meet people, right? And then when you get clients, or maybe you partner with other companies that are, have some synergy with yours, right? There's so many different ways to go about it. But I will say, the reason my business continues to grow is I have a business coach. So I invest back in myself and my business.
Right, right. So you, it's important to, first you have the mentor. The mentor helped to, first you have the agent who saw something in you. Anna was her name, correct?
Lisa.
I don't know where I got Anna from. So you had her who saw something in you. Then you have this perfect stranger, the real estate agent out of Manhattan, who, you know.
So Ann Jones, which is my realtor, and then Lisa in Manhattan, yeah.
Okay.
And then Regina.
Yeah. And so you have these people along the way who are in your time for a season, a reason, a season, like, you know, the saying, a reason, a season, a lifetime. So each one of them were kind of in your life for either a reason or a season, and to kind of help you to grow. And then having the business coach now, I think that's important, because people think that once someone gets successful, they just keep going on their own. But sometimes you do need that business coach or someone else to kind of help keep pushing you, because they can see things that you can't see because you're in your own world, so focused.
And I would actually say it's not sometimes, you do. So you're going to hit ceilings, right? So if I was an average realtor, did you know average realtor only makes $20,000 or $30,000 a year, right? So I mean, hey, if that was what I wanted to do, then I would have been fine. So, but as you start growing, you're going to always hit the ceiling. And there's no way you have your tunnel vision, you're in your business, you can't see that. Mm-hmm. So I'm a true believer in everything that we do, right? So you should always have a coach. And your coaches can change. So Regina was my productivity coach. And after that, I went to MAPS coaching, which I had Melanie. And then Melanie was transformational coaching, like mindset, to really believe that I can do it. Because I really did not, like when I took Bold, I didn't think that I could become this successful, right? And I haven't even scratched the surface yet.
Right.
But now I'm having to think bigger. My friendships are starting to change a little bit as I'm moving and evolving, right? All my friends will stay the same, but who I'm surrounding myself with, because now I notice I surround myself with a lot of people that are also entrepreneurs, because we have flexibility on the time, but also our conversations are different, right?
Right, right.
So yeah, it's been an interesting journey, but I truly believe that one, get a mentor, and when you have the money, hire a coach. And you might have to go with multiple coaches to find the right one, but yeah, you need somebody that's going to hold you accountable and make sure that you're breaking through ceilings and not dipping back down.
All right. So I have one final question for you, because I know a lot of my listeners and viewers are moms out there, you know, some of them trying to take that leap, some of them who have already taken the leap. What's your tip for them for juggling it all? Because we all know being a mom is hugely important to us, but we're not just mothers. We also, you know, want to have these careers. What is the most solid piece of advice you can give to them to help them to know, like, they can do it, or to put their mind in the right mindset to be able to do that?
Right. So, you know, everybody's situation is different. You know, I don't know if that person has support, no support. If you have support, you know, definitely having a conversation with them about the goals and what you're getting ready to do and what your expectations are from them to be able to help and assist you with that. You know, secondly, you know, depends on the age group of the kids, right? But I mean, I know agents, like one of the top, Keller Williams, and she created Bold, Kokoska. She literally, like, put her kids in one of them red buggies, like the flyer buggies, and went door knocking.
Yeah.
Like, that's how she built her business.
Yeah.
So I will say that we can always try to have reasons to why not to start. And you can't have a reason. What you do is you align, you fix it. There's also ways that you can partner with somebody else that's also similar, and you guys are helping each other out by maybe you help here, you help there. As you start making money, leverage the things that you don't want to do. Like, you are not going to see me clean a house, period, point blank. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And I would rather support a small business that's what they do.
Right.
And from there as well, is I would rather have more time with my kids or something else than that. So as you start making money, you look at it. So it really comes down to time blocking. But one thing I would tell moms is never, ever get too busy for the things that are important in your life. So Keller Williams, we are God, family, business. That is the order that we're looking at our values. So I didn't do a good job with that when I built my business. And I can tell that affected my kids. They were older. Mm-hmm. But I also didn't have that much help around me. So I was just grinding, right? I mean, I remember my son said, "You always working. I never right. see you." And I'm like, ugh. The 16-year-old telling you that is not good. Right. So think also surround yourself with other working moms, entrepreneurial moms, so that you have somebody to bounce ideas off of. And set limits.
Ooh, right? I think that's so hard as a mom, but that is so true.
You know, you teach people how to treat you. Like, if you tell your clients, you know, there's a period of time in the evenings that I'm unavailable, but shoot me a text as soon as I'm done putting my kids to bed, I will call you back. You know, either they're going to respect that and continue to be with you, or they're not, and those are not the clients you want anyway. So you set your boundaries and your time block, and I think that's the biggest advice I would have. And then don't be hard on yourself. Like, you know, if it's too much, reduce your goals, right? And sometimes we get so goal driven that we want the, you know, we just can't compare our insides to somebody else's outsides. We all have those struggles. We all are dealing with it. So find a network, making sure that you have somebody you can talk to, time block, and set boundaries. Those would probably be my top three if you're a mom that's going into entrepreneurship.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I want you to tell people, what's your website?
Vuoriahogroup.com, VUORIAHOGROUP.com.
Okay, so we're going to make sure that we include that in the description, and you're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn,
all of that, you know, the Fab Fives, I'm there. I don't know how to work the Twitter yet. I'm waiting for my assistant to start running that. I don't feel like I'm savvy enough for it. I also do have on a Facebook page that I'm getting ready to start really actively putting content on, which is Coach V. So if you are interested, definitely shoot me an email. My information is on my website. And I'm going to start putting pointers and ideas and regards to entrepreneurship putting content as well, just to be able to continue to share. And honestly, guys, if you've been thinking about going into entrepreneurship, I'm going to leave it at this note. You just got to do what Nike does. Just do it. You know, the biggest a mistake would be not trying, right? And so you're gonna miss all the shots you didn't take. So just do it. You know, it's not gonna be perfect. It's not gonna be pretty, and there's gonna be sacrifices. But the return and the outcome, to be able to teach your kids how it is to run a business and leave a legacy for your family, will be all worth it. So go and do it, and just start. Just do it.
And on that note, I want to also invite you guys to check out a program that I have, which is called the 7-Day Business Launch. So like Natalie is saying, sometimes you just have to jump into it. It's hard work. I guarantee the program is super intensive that I have, but it will help you to literally just sprint right through all of those first steps that you really need underway, all those steps that can get you bogged down, that can, you know, zap your momentum if you don't keep going. So I'll put the link in the description down there. That's one of the courses I offer. And then if you're not quite ready, you want to take a smaller baby step, I have the 30-minute startup that at least gets your business going, because the main thing is to start. Like Natalie said, if you don't start, you can never progress. You can't go further in this. And the days are going by. Today is gone in a few hours. So you have to pay attention to the time that you have, pay attention to the time that's going by, go after the things that you want right now, because you're the only one that can do it for yourself. Nobody else can start a business for you. Nobody else can make it work for you. You put in the work, and like Natalie said, you will get what you sow. So thank you so much, Natalie, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. This is such a pleasure. Anytime you want me to come on, let me know. I love, love, love sharing my experiences, and I'm hoping people took something out of it. Look forward to seeing you guys start your businesses, and you'll be on this call in a podcast in a few years.
That's a hope, and I'm definitely going to reach back out to you. Thank you so much. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Have a good one.